Well, hello again, everyone. This is Art Pauly. I am your mobile estate planning attorney. It's personal, professional estate planning done in your own home or business. And I want to do another podcast here for you. And you know, I listen to podcasts, and everybody seems to have some kind of theme music when they go into these. And I'm not quite sure what kind of theme music would be good to start these out with. Maybe if you have some ideas about theme music, you just drop me an email at artpauly@paulylaw.com and give me some ideas what you think might be an appropriate theme music to start these off. But today I wanted to talk about a subject that comes up all the time, questions I get all the time, primarily about when should I update my trust, my estate planning. When should that be done? And along with that, I include information about, is your estate planning all it should be or could be? Because I've seen many, many situations where estate planning was done and many of the documents that should be there are not there or they were not done properly. So I guess the first question most people ask is, do I need to do estate planning? And of course, my answer to that is typical answer is everybody needs to do some kind of estate planning, whether it's nothing more than just sitting down and looking at what you have and saying, well, I don't really need to do much more than just a will and some powers of attorney. That may be all you need, and that's just fine. Not everybody needs to have a full trust and all the things that go along with it, but you should at least take the time to sit down, talk to a professional about it, and get some professional advice about what you need to do. And again, it may be something very simple. It could be something more complex, depending on what type of assets that you have. But let's talk a little bit about estate planning and what should it be? What should you have there when you do an estate plan? And the first thing that I wanted to talk about is, can you read it and can you understand it? And I've been a lawyer for 30 years, and I have done court work for Hartford Insurance Company and a lot of other people, and I've read scores of documents. And frankly, it takes me 4 or 5 times to read some of these trusts, the way that they are put together. The language is so complicated that an average person can't figure it out. And frankly, a trust is not something for lawyers to try to figure out or a court to figure out. The purpose of doing estate planning is to keep everything out of the court system. So it really needs to be something that your family can open up and understand, read what it says, clearly understand your wishes. What you're telling your family. And if you can't read it and understand it, you need to have it updated to get into language that can be easily read, what I call client-centered estate planning, a trust that are be read, words like you and me and my kids and I want this and I want that. That's the kind of thing you should see in there. And you also need to look and let the trust yourself and find out, does it really tell you, your family, your wishes? Does it clearly spell out what you want to do? Does it convey a legacy for you? The language in the trust is fine. If it doesn't convey your wishes, it's not worth anything. If your family has to hire a lawyer to figure out what it says, or if there are ambiguities and creating arguments in the family, it's not a whole lot of good because it isn't really accomplishing the goals that you set out to accomplish when you created this thing. So that's a very important thing, to make sure it accomplishes your wishes. And you just do that by reading through it. And does it convey your legacy? The third thing is, was it done by a qualified estate planning attorney? Yes, I'm going to kind of get on my soapbox here. I have seen thousands, well, 3,000 or 4,000 estate plans in my day. And I will tell you, there are even lawyers out there that I look at these and I have to scratch my head and go, why did they do this? Why was it set up this way? This is cheap. This is not the proper way to do this. Or it is so incredibly complicated that a very simple estate becomes a very complicated mess when the time comes that the estate plan has to be used. So you want to watch out for that kind of thing, and especially watch out for what I call cheap estate planning. Now, I know you see a lot of cards in the mail comes in all the time, come to my seminar, estate planning, will, living trust, no more than $500. Well, you know, that should be a clue to you immediately. Why would it be so cheap? $500 of an attorney's time is not very much. So you're not getting much of an attorney involved in a process like that. And you usually end up with a one-size-fits-all that is not going to be what you really want it to be. I remember many, many years ago when I was working downtown Sacramento, working as a claims adjuster, and then going on to being a trial attorney for Hartford. There was a Shakey's Pizza Parlor down there. Many of you may have been familiar with that, but I remember going in there and I saw a sign on the wall that I will always remember. It says, "Shakey's has no objection to people who sell their pizzas for more. They know, oh, I'm sorry, I got that all messed up. Have no problem selling pizzas for less. They know what their pizzas are worth." And it's the same thing with anything you buy. If you buy the cheapest thing out there, that's exactly what you're going to get. So you need to be careful of that. There are a lot of online services now that provide trusts. In fact, if you go to my website, I have an online program, but it's me. You still get to talk to me. It's not a computer that you talk to. And many of them are just a computer program that you go in and you answer a bunch of questions, and out comes the same trust that the last person got when they got onto the program. So you've got to be very careful of these online programs. They're not always as good as they seem to be. And you need to get somebody that has some personal input that can go along with it. The last thing I want to talk about looking at your estate plan is, do you have the proper documents there? And I'm not going to go into each of these documents in particular, but just mention that these are the documents you should be seeing. Of course, the revocable living trust, if that's appropriate, should be there. Revocable living trust or a will, a very properly done will. Along with that, if it is a living trust, you should also have some pour-over wills. And I won't go into the details of what those are, but that's one of the documents that you should have there. You need to have durable powers of attorney for property to make sure property gets taken care of. You need to have advance directives for health care. You need to have HIPAA authorizations for health care. You should have a general transfer agreement. You should have a community property agreement if it's a husband and wife, if it's a couple. And you should have a personal property memorandum to take care of personal property. And of course, a certificate of trust, which I call a little mini trust. It's what you would give to banks and those kinds of things. And probably the most important part are funding documents. And there's a podcast I did a little while ago on funding. You can look that up and find out more about funding. But check and see if those documents are there. If they're not part of your estate plan, then you probably need to find out where they are. So let's take the rest of this time and talk about, when should you update your estate planning? When would be a good time to do that? Normally, people look at it every couple of years. I recommend right now about every 5 years, take a look at it, unless something has changed in your family. If you've added more children to your family, if you've purchased more assets, if you've moved into another jurisdiction, it's good time to be looking at your estate plan to make sure it conforms to whatever jurisdiction you happen to be in, and that whatever other assets that you buy are properly funded, and any new members of your family are taken care of in the trust. So that's usually a pretty good time to do that. Are there any changes in your plans? Have there been any changes in the laws? And that's kind of my job. For my clients, I try to keep up with them as best I can to let them know when there are changes in the laws that need to be taken a look at. And actually, in these last few years, there have been some changes in the laws in California anyway. One of them having to do with the no contest clause in the trust. We have to make some changes in that. So if your trust was done more than 5 years ago, you probably have the outdated no contest clause. Some of the other laws that we're changing, some laws allows us now to actually write in some asset protection for your kids, so that if your kids inherit money, it isn't taken away by some creditors. I won't get into the details of doing it, but it has to do with the language that we put in the trust that conforms to some new laws here in California. So if you have old language that just says, "Give everything to my kids," that may not be the best thing for them, because now they could lose whatever assets would be going to them. They could lose that to creditors. So you need to check up on that and see if that has the proper language in it. The other laws that have changed have had to do a lot with the federal estate tax. And quite a few years ago, when I started doing estate planning, the exemption from federal estate taxes was $600,000. And it really didn't take much for an estate to get over $600,000, which meant there was an estate tax that had to be paid. And there were certain ways of taking care of that, generally called an AB trust. And there were some mandatory things in those trusts that had to be done in order to protect some of the property from federal estate taxes. Today, as we speak, the exemption is $5.5 million. So, unless you're over that amount, tax planning is probably not something you're going to be terribly interested in. But if your trust was done more than 10 years ago, you probably still have the language in there about the A-B trust, the A-B split, as we call it. And again, I won't get into the details of it, but basically what it does is it means that your family has to divide the assets into two when either the husband or the wife dies, whoever dies first. There's an expense to doing that. There are things that are attached to the two trusts again. There are tax returns that have to be done. There's some expense and work that has to be done. Now, it's all worth doing it if you're going to be able to avoid a lot of estate taxes. But as it now stands, if you have one of those kinds of trusts and your estate is nowhere near the $5.5 million, then all you're doing is creating an expense when one of the couple, either the husband or wife, passes away. You create an expense that doesn't really need to be there. So we can fix that by restatement and some other ways of doing that. So it's something you want to take a look at. The other thing we want to take a look at are powers of attorney. And since the Patriot Act went into effect, a lot of the banks and financial institutions are not accepting powers of attorney that are more than 5 or 6 years old. They just don't want to do that. Now, you certainly could argue with the banks and you could say, well, these people are now mentally incompetent. We can't get another power of attorney. And generally, you'll get them to comply. But there's no reason to be fighting with them when all we need to do is just make sure that your powers of attorney for property are updated every 5, 6, 7 years, something of that nature. So that's something that came along fairly recently. So it's something you definitely want to take a look at. Another thing that has come up now with regard to powers of attorney is the power of attorney needs to specify what exactly you have the power to do. And what is your capacity? Are you taking over from the person individually, as an individual, or are you taking over from that person who was the trustee of a trust? If your power of attorney doesn't specify that you could also take over as power of attorney as the trustee of a trust, then you may not be able to have that power of attorney regarding someone else's trust. So it's necessary to look at what you're doing and what these powers of attorney say. The other issue that comes up, of course, is powers of attorney in California have to be very specific as far as what you can do as the agent or attorney in fact under a power of attorney. And there is a statutory power of attorney. You can go online and you can download it. It's 2 or 2.5 pages long, but it's fairly limited in what it says you can do as far as a power is concerned. I like to do both. I like to do a statutory power of attorney and a very comprehensive one that covers pretty much anything that might come along later on. And the reason for doing that is when you go in and present a 15 or 16 page power of attorney to the bank, they're going to go crazy and call their legal department. If you walk in with a power of attorney, a statutory power of attorney, the teller goes, oh sure, I recognize that. Go ahead, let's take care of things. If it's nothing more than doing some minimal financial transactions, the statutory power of attorney will be fine. So it's best to have both available to make sure you have them both there. That's one of the things that we take a look at when we look at updating a trust or an estate planning package. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, we look at making sure all the documents are there and that the documents are current. That's very important to make sure that all the documents are current. So that's really what updating is all about. And yes, it's some work, and yes, there is a cost involved in doing it, but you have to look at it. What's the cost of not doing it? If you don't update that trust properly, you're leaving your family with an outdated trust that could end up costing them money if that trust ever has to be activated because you became mentally incompetent or you were to die. So it's best to take care of these things when you can and make sure it stays updated. It's really nothing more than, you know, you drive a car for 35 years, car's going to wear out. At least most of them do. You want to need to update the car. You need to keep your car maintained properly. You need to keep oil in it. You need to keep upgrading, updating things, putting new tires on, all those kinds of things. Your estate plan really is very similar to that. It's something that needs to have attention. So if your estate plan hasn't been looked at for, you know, anything from 5 to 10 to 15 years, you ought to take a look at it and give me a call and we can get together and see what we can need to do, if anything. Certainly, if there's nothing that needs to be done, there will probably be no cost to you, but we need to at least take a look at it and make sure that it's up to date. So it's a very important thing to keep your estate planning updated, specifically looking at the asset protection available, looking at the minimizing the cost at the time of the first death between a husband and a wife, minimizing any tax planning costs that might be in there. and making sure that no contest clause is up to date, and of course the language is the way that you want it to be set up. So those are some of the things we want to take a look at. There's a lot more to it, but that should get you some idea as to what you want to look for when the time comes to update your estate plan. So if you have an estate plan already done, take it out, take a look at it. And actually, if it's been more than 10 years, you really need to get it looked at and get it taken care of and get it updated properly. If it's been within the last 5 years, well, take a look at what assets may be there and see if anything else has changed. And if that's the case, it probably isn't much that would need to be done to it. But the point of this whole discussion is just do it. Get it out and do it. If you have any questions, call me, shoot me an email. My number is area code 916-207-7526, or shoot me an email at artpauly, artpauly, at paulylaw.com. And I'll walk you through that whole situation, and if we need to get together and go over things, we will do that. But it's important that you get that done and take a look at it, and just make sure it stays up to date. Well, thank you for your attention, and next podcast is going to be coming along here in probably another week or two, and we'll see if we can come up with an appropriate topic for you that will help you get through this estate planning maze. This estate planning, as many people call it, a nightmare. My job is to make it simple for you to understand and simple for you to get through it. Thank you all for your time, and we'll look forward to hearing from you soon. Goodbye.